Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behind the badge.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Paul Lisnick, Behind the Curtain, my opportunity to step away from the fascinating world of politics and law that you watch me cover on television every day into the world of great passion for me, which is the arts and theater and music. And this show combines them all into one, and that makes it an unusual experience to have here in Chicago. I'm talking about the show The Choir of Man. You might have seen it a few years ago, pre-pandemic, when it was at the Broadway Playhouse, but now it's found a new home over at the Apollo Theater over on Lincoln Avenue, and I saw it opening night, and oh, it's just so great to have all you guys here, and most of you are not from these parts of the woods, so let me introduce you and learn a little bit about you. I'm just going to, no particular order, but I'm going to start with you, Benji. You play Joker here, so you tell me a little bit about Joker in terms of what, because you all have sort of a character name, but at the same time, your background, you've got quite the music background. You're not like coming from the playing Man of La Mancha to this. It's a show you probably are too old, too young for. Not, were you around in 1960? But Noah, you really have this music background that takes you here. It's perfect.
Yeah, we all sort of play these sort of archetypal roles that you would find in a traditional sort of British pub. Joker is that sort of cheeky, always sort of pushing the buttons, pushing the boundaries sort of guy. And we get cast obviously for our skill sets, but also largely on like our vibe and our personalities and what we can bring to the show. So there's always, yeah, there's like a real nice hint of us as people in all of the characters we play.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was just going to say about, my like music background. I've always played instruments from quite a young age, and I trained at drama school in acting musicianship, which is a bit more of like a niche.
Oh, really? That was my training. Major too at University of Illinois. No, I'm kidding.
But it's a good thing to have training because it's kind of in demand at the moment, especially.
I love it, and I'm just going to ask each of you. You all have you all live in places except for here, but that's why RG, I'll keep you last. But where are you from? Where do you live, Benji? Because it's always exciting.
I'm from Southwest London, a place called Kingston.
All right. I have family in London, so I don't know Kingston well, but I did try to like move into the palace and nobody let me. So glad you were here. And Shane, you're a poet.
Yes.
And you often play, well, so let's talk about your character, and you're out front a lot in this show.
Yeah. So I am kind of the voice of the show. It's a really special part for me because I get to speak on behalf of all the guys. I get to introduce everyone. And again, as Benji was saying, everyone has their skill set and their personality that they bring on board. So all the monologues within the show are written by Ben Norris, this wordsmith of a man. It's not exactly poetry. It's more kind of spoken word. So there are incidental rhyme. But the creators of the show generally find that as an Irish man, generally it kind of flows quite well. We have traits of kind of storytelling. So I talk probably a bit too much, but I love it. I mean, we're just having the best time in the jungle.
So, and I'm going to come back to that because we have yet to talk about what the show is. So I'm just letting you all introduce yourself. And by the way, mm-hmm. Where do you live? Are you in Ireland?
So I'm from Dublin, but I moved over to the UK in 2009. I went to study musical theatre and then stayed. So now I'm in South East London, in Bromley.
Did you ever say hi to the Queen?
I did not. I missed that one.
Wait a second. And you never know. One of you might say yes. So, and George, you are the handyman in this show,
yes.
George Knapper. Yep. By the way, you know, something Benji said, so I did not know that, which is each of these characters, so to speak, we would find in a typical Irish or British pub out there. Is that true? So is Handyman somebody we might see there?
Yeah, it's sort of like caricatures of people. Like, we have the pub boy as well, who's not here today, Marco. So, like, it's the older gentleman sat reading the paper. Me as the handyman, I'm like the type of guy who would do favors for people. They would come down like a bit of a hustler, you know, make a bit of money on the side. It's that sort of vibe. It was sort of added later in the show, that name, like near the start. It was just like an extra character called the Tapper, as a tap in the show. But they made it like a bit more of the pub sort of vibe.
Yeah, I love that. And by the way, are you wearing tap shoes while we're talking?
No, I'm not. They're at work.
Do we have some training? You must have a little tap training.
Yeah. Well, I've tapped since I was a kid. My mum actually used to teach dance, so I did it from like a young age. And then I was very close to a guy who was like a really big tapper. So we sort of grew up together doing stuff. And then as time went on, we just like it's a lot more like freestyle sort of tap, like African-American sort of tap, more like percussive as opposed to dancey. I did train in that as well, but yeah, it's just a bit more like it's more fun. More.
I found rhythmic. I found myself watching to see like, when was he going to change his shoes to kind of, you know, so what we knew what was coming. You're pretty slick in that little shoe changing thing.
Yeah. It's sneaky around the back of the bar.
And so, Paul, I should go to RJ, but I'm keeping you, RJ, because you're homegrown. So I'm just going to go to Paul. So Paul Deegan joining us. And I come to you next because you're an understudy in this show, which, by the way, COVID has taught us, you know, it used to be, you'd say, oh, understudy, too bad. Now we realize the importance of understudies and standbys. And I think there has been a reverence, for those folks that we just never knew prior to COVID and the amazing talent that you have to have. And so you'll step in for Poet and Hardman and Maestro. And so tell me how you mean. So that means you got to be ready for almost anything at any time.
Yeah. So on the day,
and by the way, you've been getting a lot of play in this tour. My understanding is you've been getting on stage quite a bit.
Yeah, I've actually been on for all of my tracks, and I did a musician track for a bit as well. So it was, yeah, it's been a lot of fun. We, as Swings, there's four of us, myself, Dave, Norton. Oh my God, who have I forgotten?
Chrissy.
Thank you, Christian. And we...
You'll hear about
it. We get a call every morning from our company manager if we are on, and they will call you and say you are on for this character. And yeah, you just kind of chop to work.
So do you, by the way, you know your colleagues are going to go, so Paul, you're like the main swing. Is that why you forgot us? No, I'm kidding. So in terms of doing it, I mean, now I know that in certain shows, like they'll have to run it before it's on. I mean, do you get a run through beforehand, or you go with the flow?
So we sing through, we have some big a cappella numbers in the show. So we will meet before we do like a collective warm up as a group, and then we'll sing through some of the a cappella numbers in the show to kind of like focus in as a group and as that cast of the day.
And are you at the theater every night? It's sort of like, because something could happen, second act, something like that. Are you kind of always there to be on call all the time?
Yeah, I guess people wouldn't expect that, like, the four of us are kind of just sat backstage while the boys are out doing the show. We're there as a failsafe, or if something, God forbid, happens, then we can step in and keep the show going.
But you never slip anything into a drink to make sure you can go on second act or anything like that.
Not yet. No, I'm joking.
All right. Well, RJ, be careful about that. So RJ, who plays Hardman, because he does fill in for you too, by the way, I've come to you last only because you don't come from a glamorous place like England and Ireland and all that kind of stuff, but you are homegrown. You are a Chicagoan. So how the heck did you get wrapped up into all of this?
Well, my agents ended up sending me a submission. They said you were requested to audition for this show that's coming from London. And I'd never heard of it, didn't know anything about it, didn't know what I was getting into. But my initial audition was for the Barman. And then I got called back for the Hardman. And then two more auditions later, here I am.
And you, by the way, so where people know you here from most certainly, and I do, is the Black Ensemble Theater, yes. Which is really where you made. Did you ever have a drink at the Paul Listening Bar that I named out there?
Oh, up in the thing, yeah.
Not up in the thing. It's just out in the lobby.
Yes, I'm talking about in the lobby. Yes, of course.
Just checking.
And, oh, Lou, your name is all around the theater, trust me.
Yeah, I kind of do my best to support theater. I do what I can. And so, RJ, out of curiosity, my understanding is you had never been to London, but you did go to London for quite a while to rehearse and be part of the show. Is that right?
Yes. I've always dreamed of going to London, and I was blessed to be able to go to rehearse for a show and meet these amazing guys. So, yeah.
And it makes sense. You're in Chicago, so of course you get to just be the Chicagoan you are. But I'm sort of curious, as you will, you know, if as you go on and tour other places, any pressure on you to like put on one of those English great accents that they have that you don't?
No, I mean, in rehearsal, I had to work extra hard to change up my vowel sounds and how I pronounce things to match their shapes. So that was one of the hardest things for me. And they're laughing and smiling because they know, and they make fun of how I talk because this is me. But it's just like, I had to learn. And going home to my apartment after rehearsal and just really drilling in the vowel sounds, you know, was a lot of work.
You could pick up on a Chicago accent, George, couldn't you, really easily?
No, definitely not. I feel RJ as well, because we're all very like English humor is quite sarcastic, and he got thrown straight into London with eight other guys, sort of like.
Well, as it is, I'm going to have to put in the show notes, because already Benji's using words like cheeky, like we know what that, and so we're going to have people having to have that English to English dictionary with them to kind of find out what he was talking about. Shane, let me come back to you. So I'm talking about the show like everybody knows it, and if they've seen it, they do. But this is just a very different experience. This is not, you know, this is not a Night of Shakespeare. Well, actually, I shouldn't say that. There are moments, but really, this is a fun night at the theater.
Yeah, it's unlike anything that I've ever experienced before. The most amazing thing, and they've done it so well in the Apollo, as soon as you walk in, you are in our pub. You're in the jungle, and you have Mark, whose bar it is. He's back there pouring pints. So, you know, you can get up, get yourself a beer. We'll be milling around our bar. Generally, someone will pick up some instruments. We have a cajon, there's a bowron, there's guitars, and what's Keelan play?
Mandolin.
There we go. And, you know, there's tunes going, and it starts off so subtly. We're just having chats. It's just another day in the pub. And then out of nowhere, gear change, the tunes come in, and it's 90 minutes of nonstop fun.
And if you're lucky, you might even get some Doritos thrown at you. I mean, it's just a... I was not so lucky, man. I was staring at you, Benji. You were one of those people. And I said, come on, Benji, help me out here. And you just, nope, right around you. You're going to go every other direction except where you're going, Paul. Now I think if you had to do it over again, and you'll probably see me again, so I want a bag of something.
Okay, sure. Next time you're there, I'll aim for you.
By the way, this will be a general question for everybody, so just kind of speak, but have any of you, like, do you hang in pubs at home, and how realistic is this experience for people who are, I know it's a show, but if we went to London or whatever, we went into a pub, how many of us would say, yeah, you'd have this kind of experience?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's something that is an integral part of our culture. And I think, well, we talk about it in the show, these places are becoming few and far between, these sort of like old traditional pubs. So I think that's what's nice about this show, is it's kind of keeping that, the spirit of what those pubs are, alive. But it's amazing. If you walk around London, you come and you get into some of the, you know, less busy parts or the deeper parts, you'll come across these like amazing old buildings, and these pubs have been open for hundreds of years, and you'll walk in, the carpets haven't been changed since the 60s, you know. It still smells of cigarettes, even though no one's allowed to smoke inside.
It's like you're, in my house.
There you go. But you'll see a handful of the archetypes that we sort of portray in the show. It's a really great thing to experience if you ever get to do it.
Yeah, yeah, well, I used to work at a pub in Guildford, which isn't far from where Benji lives, like south of England. And once a month, they used to have what they call a uke jam. And a group of people would come in with ukuleles that are part of like a society. And a band would come, and the whole pub would just be like music all night. It was like crazy.
Wow.
I had the same thing in Dublin years ago. It was just a random Wednesday. Me and a friend said, right, let's go for a beer. And we went to a pub that I hadn't been to for once. And out of nowhere, just... you know, people started coming in with different bags. I was like, it's getting a bit busy here. And then within the space of about 15 minutes, there were like 30 musicians. I think me and him were the only two who didn't have an instrument, and everyone just started playing and jamming, and pints were going. And it was just the most incredible thing.
I love
it. Yeah, it happens. It still goes.
Yeah, Paul, talk a little bit about the music, because the great part of it is there are songs certainly tied to the culture that you all grew up in, but people who are, you know, lifelong Chicagoans like RJ and whatever, we know a lot of that music. In fact, we know more than you might realize, like Pina Colada and some Paul Simon and 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover. So part of putting the show together is to make sure people really do connect with the music.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that comes back to the arranger of the show, Jack Bloom, who put all of this music together in such in the way that it is received. They put spins on songs that you maybe wouldn't expect, like Teenage Dream, that's done in this completely like held back, reserved way, which I don't want to spoil it, but it's like a really nice moment in the show.
Yeah, the end of the show is beautiful. RJ, you're used to doing musicals, so this is part of your fiber. And so sort of curious, is there anything different about what we might have seen you doing at Black Ensemble, which is oftentimes story with music, right? A lot of Jackie's work and Daryl work is that. This is a little different than that. So how quickly did you fit into this rhythm, so to speak?
Well, so this show's process was different because they gave us the practice tracks before we even came to our first day of rehearsal. So I think we ended up getting the practice tracks maybe 3 weeks before our first rehearsal in London. So they said, familiarize yourself with the music. And so I would just have it on repeat. That's something that I'm not used to at Black Ensemble. And just being able to be prepared early. And so obviously at Black Ensemble, I'm used to playing like historical, like Black music figures. That when they come into the show, they want you to kind of look like them, but more so sound like these real life individuals. So
legends.
Yeah, living legends. And that's been the biggest thing for me, obviously. But with this show, it's just like, okay, learning the harmonies and learning how to blend with eight other voices, you know, at the same time, opposed to, you know, Black Ensemble, you may sing background on a couple different songs, but this show, everyone is singing on everything. So at all points. So it's just been different with that and just learning how to be a support system for my brothers on stage, you know, so yeah.
Yeah. By the way, RJ, when you were in London, I don't know if it's still this way, but did you notice how tough it was to get a damn ice cube to put in your drink?
Yeah, you know what? I didn't even realize that. I don't even
what
think
is
I
it? That is ice cubes. Ice cubes is not a thing over there.
But rain is a thing.
Yeah. Now look, rain. Oh my God.
Rain is a thing, but don't freeze that rain.
No.
I remember having dinner. I had relatives there, and so we had dinner. And like I served, I don't know, Coke or Pepsi, whatever it was. And I went, "Can I like get ice?" And they brought out this little tiny tray with just these little baby cubes in it and stuff. And they went, "We just don't use ice here." And I'm like, "Oh,
yeah."
It's very different now. I don't know, George. Is it different because you're looking at me like I'm crazy? So maybe it's me. I'm crazy, but maybe
I don't know. I've honestly never had a problem with ice, but I don't know.
Drink beer, bro.
That's all right, Shane. Any problems with ice with you? Ireland or
no, I've put all right, plenty for life, I think.
It's, you know what, y'all have caught on to the importance of ice in your drive.
Yeah, the one thing we found quite bizarre here, because like we're all quite a big fan of Guinness, is we saw a few people on St. Paddy's Day having half Guinness, half lager sort of beers.
Yeah, no.
And we were like, that's very different.
I'm assuming you all got down. Oh, I know you did, because you worked with my friend Cindy Raymond, who's tied to the marketing thing. You all got down to see the Green River. Was that were we all impressed with the changing of the color of the river?
Yeah, it was cool. We were on the boat. You were on Chicago's first lady. Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, I think you met the governor. That was sort of a nice day for you all. Yeah, he's very rich. he's rich. So Shane, let me come to you because you are, as you say, you humorously say you talk a lot. The truth is we need your voice in the show, but everybody gets introduced. One of the things I had forgotten from the first time around when I saw it a few years ago, everybody kind of, well, you have these roles of poet and joker and stuff, but they are who they are. So I think when you're giving us backgrounds and narratives, these are the real people you're introducing, right? So what, as opposed to creating individual characters so that Benji, for example, is Joker, you don't make up who Joker is. We actually learn who Benji is.
Yeah, it's incredible. And it's one of the reasons it's so well-received and well-written. And it's unlike any other theatrical experience because for the most part, we are playing ourselves. Now, there are definitely heightened things that you might have to do as the Joker, as the hard man, which might not be inherent in yourself. And you do that as a kind of plot device. But for the most part, you know, we all use our own names. It's all about us. There's a beautiful section towards the end where I get to talk about what home is for every single person. And although there's nine of us on stage, as Paul said, there's these four super swings backstage ready at a moment's notice to come on. And everyone has their own version of this home speech and what home means to you and where you're from and, you know, the memories that you have. And it's a lot of the people that we meet who've seen the show find it the hardest to believe that we are that honest. They're like, oh, you made that up though, right? It's like, no, that's truth. I'm giving everyone's truth. And it's a really beautiful thing.
That was part of where I connected to wondering as I listened to it, how true. Did you ever screw up and like do the bio of a swing and then they have to run out and replace whoever it is?
Just to keep them on their toes, you know?
I'm just thinking, if Paul's back, they're going, wait, that's my bio he just did. Just get out there and throw Benji off the stage and give me that flower shirt. I'm taking over. You know, and RJ, I don't know if you knew any of the musicians who play above you on the set, the four musicians. Actually, one of the one I've known for the longest time is Keelan Smith, who forever I've called Kellen. So it was when you introduced him, and oh my goodness, it's Keelan. I've been wrong all these years, and he's never corrected me. I guess I had age on him. He was afraid to. I don't know. But so, RJ, I was curious, did you know any of those musicians ahead of time? Because I think I'm pretty sure they're all local. But also, what's it like, you know, having these local folks play the music that you all are playing, which is, you know, of another culture, some would say.
Well, I never met them before. And obviously, Chicago is such a big city and so many different musicians. So and obviously, different theaters have their resident musicians. So
right.
Dope. But these guys are amazing. I mean, and it's just being able to meet these guys, and you just never know, we may connect and do something in the near future or something like that. So just being able to meet other talented musicians that I had never seen play before.
Yeah.
That could play multiple instruments really well. Otherwise they wouldn't have the job anyway. So
they get a job with you and all that stuff behind you with all that equipment there. Well, yeah. And so one of the things, RJ, you're used to, I'm going to come to Benji with this question, but, you know, at Black Ensemble, you've got the Black Ensemble Orchestra or band, and they're doing their thing and whatever. But Benji, in this show, these guys, after a while, become part of the set and become, even though they don't really, we don't hear from them, but they are characters in and of themselves.
Yeah, it's a really beautiful thing to watch musicians come in, and especially when we start putting them into the show. And they all eventually come out of their shells a little bit, you know, as the run goes on, and you interact with them on stage in the same way that you'd be interacting with any of the other guys.
Because you don't ignore that they're there. You're not pretending they're not there.
No, you know, we always talk about being nine guys on stage, but there is the four band members. It is 13 of us. We are one team. Obviously they are our band, but you know, we serve them and they serve us, and it's a really good relationship. And it's just you start doing little glances here and there to the musicians during the show, and it just grows in such a beautiful way, and you see them all come out of their shells. It's really lovely.
Oh, yeah. And George, by the way, the beer that people are getting on stage, it's real alcohol we're getting.
Yeah, it's a Revolution Lager, I think, called Daytime.
Ooh. What about the Pina Colada? Is that real?
That is real as well, yeah.
All right. I was very jealous.
I think it's obviously pre-made before the show, but it's pre-made before every show, fresh.
Okay. Because that was another moment of jealousy when you picked somebody else to go up and get the pina colada. I'm like, I love pina coladas.
We're jealous every night.
Well, except I noticed that, I don't remember who does, but somebody grabs it out of her hand. So she's not like she's going to get to finish it. So one of you.
Yeah, she does get it back. She does get it back then after that.
Oh, that's okay. Oh, that's right. I think you put it in another.
Yeah. So we can keep the glass.
Yeah. Safety first. Or cheapness. Safety or cheapness first. One of the two.
Yeah.
So, and Paul, let me just, in terms of like getting together, it's very clear, even in talking to you, there's a camaraderie between you guys. Although I feel like I could be in the show because I feel comfortable with all of you. But how did all of that, I know that you shipped RJ over to England with you all, but talk about the relationship you built. And by the way, people like Keelan and the other band members, did they come over there too? Or was that, I'm guessing that meeting was here.
Yeah, we met them when we met the band when we were here. in a pub, and we bonded with the boys in England in a pub. I think Perfect. That's it, really.
And so how much, Shane, how much do you get to, there's a script to this, but because everybody is real and you're using real bios and all those things, by the way, end of the show is, if you only made it there for the last 15 minutes of the show, it's worth coming to see it just for the very emotional and powerful moment there. But are you completely scripted, forgetting the bio part, but are you completely scripted or is there any sort of impromptu nature for any of this?
Oh, yeah. If anything, I have a little bit too much wiggle room. Sometimes I need to calm down a bit. yeah, it's great. There are obviously moments that have to happen. And I have to behave myself to a certain degree, but it completely relies on the audience interaction that we get back. So there are definitely moments where all of us can play. And the best thing about the show is you can come every night for a solid week. One, you can watch one different person every night and get a different show, but also watch the same person and get a different show, because we all react to what we're being given in the moment from the other guys, from the audience. So the show is constantly changing and evolving. And there'll be things that you might find one night and you're like, oh, I never thought of that before, or that line never hit before. And then the next day you go back to it and it means something else to you. It feels different.
What I love too is
it's always growing.
And there's an interaction you have with the audience. By the way, Benji, when you first sat at the piano, for example, it was early enough on that I thought, okay, is he really playing? Is it, you know, that kind of stuff? And clearly you do, because, you know, all you got to do is read your background to know that you've got this musical thing. But we'll talk about the importance of the audience interaction in two parts. Number one, are you, as you play with different people from the audience, are you looking for certain characteristics? I mean, some people will play with you better than others. And then secondly, why didn't I get a bag of chips? I was sitting in the second row, middle of the second row, right in front of you, and I was drooling. So
second row was your mistake. There you go. I've got quite an arm on me, so I try to get him right at the back.
Now I know. Okay. No, but talk about the interaction.
Yeah, no, it's great. I think I personally don't get the chance to choose someone to come up on stage, but I'm always interacting with people and you know, having a laugh. But I know from the boys that do go and choose people, the pre-show is a really good chance to sort of do a little bit of research. You know, you can very easily figure out who's going to be game, who's like maybe not up for it. Because you basically want someone who's going to be comfortable enough to come up, but you also want someone that you feel like maybe you could unlock something in them. And when they get put on the spot, they do something funny or... You know, they're just someone who's going to be interesting to watch.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a really fun part of the show.
And George, because you are playing George in the show, aside from your character, I mean, do you like that? I mean, do you wish that there was, you know, that you were Reggie and you were, you know, just some other kind of, I don't mean, you know, you were Bill. I mean, do you wish you was a character to sort of, you know, that was you? Or do you like the fact that you're really George?
It's like a mixture, really. I've done the show for a while, and as time's gone on, I preferred it. But I think at first, it's like you can get very be quite personal, the show, and like say something personally happens at home, like a family member maybe passed or something serious happens. You're playing yourself in the show, and we talk about those emotions like in the show, and it can really affect you. So
you don't hide away from that. You deal with it.
No, and it actually benefits the show when it's real, and that does come out of somebody in the show, which has happened many times in Quiet Man, different casts. And when it's honest and it's true like that and you express it, it really works in the show as well. So it's like it's an amazing thing. I love it. I love playing ourselves, and especially like if the more time we spend outside of the show together doing fun things, we can bring that energy on stage, and then it's like it just makes the show fresh every night.
Yeah, Paul, because you play different characters, but you're always Paul. Sort of curiosity, same answer as George, or does it matter who you're playing because you're always Paul?
It's interesting. I think Poet and Maestro are kind of similar in terms of energy, but The Hard Man is a completely different energy. I'm still me on stage, but I had to find a real like stoicism and stillness that kind of goes against my natural kind of cheeky bounciness.
There's that cheeky again.
Yeah, there you go. But it's always me on stage, but I guess through different lenses, perhaps, maybe.
Yeah, it sounds like an interesting sort of, as an actor, it sounds like a sort of a challenge. Some of you musicians, but you are actors as well. So, RJ, because apparently you've done all of this communing with everybody in pubs, I'm assuming you've been the tour guide. What are you making sure everybody, you're in Chicago, so what are you making sure everybody does while they're visiting? Unless other people have been in Chicago before. I don't know. I'm kind of guessing maybe not. So what are you making sure they experience? Is it Lou Malnati's Pizza and Garrett's Cheese Corn Caramel Corn Mix?
Well, I think some of them have tried Lou Malnati's, but...
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
But...
Benji's got his Garrett's. So, what kind? What'd you get, Benji? What kind is it? Is it the?
It's the that's the pecan caramel one, I think.
Oh, one of the little special
did you
things.
Get
okay.
Cheese? Did you get cheese in it? Mixed with it?
No, that's horrible.
Yeah. So RJ will stop
it's not.
Get,
no,
it's you need to get cheese.
It's what they it. Just so you know the secret here. It's what they now call Garrett's mix, which is cheese and caramel corn together. Which if you've never had it, look at his face. See, he thinks it's weird. Trust me, trust everybody. If you do it, you'll go, oh my, this is incredible. It used to be called the Chicago mix, but they got sued because somebody in Indiana sold what they called the Chicago mix and Garrett's chickened out and changed the name to Garrett's mix. So in solidarity, I always go in and I still order the Chicago mix and because I will not give in. But anyway, so you need to try. Trust me, the flavors will be good. But anyway, back to you. So
I know since they live downtown and up north and I don't anymore in the city. So I know they've had opportunities to tour around. I just make sure they don't go like far south to where they don't need to be at, but they'll actually be able to see south because I'm going to bring them out to my house and my mom's house on Memorial Day. So they'll actually be able to see what the South Side looks like.
Can I come too? I know your mom.
Yes. Come on, my mom would love to have you over there.
I'm just checking. So let me just quickly ask each of you. I mean, while you've been here, and you're going to be here a lot longer, but is there something here? What impresses you? I'm making an assumption because I love the city. Shane, what impresses you most? Is it the food? Is it the architecture? What are you going? This if my family comes, and by the way, if there are people here with you, let me know. But is sort of like this what people got to do?
To be honest, my favorite day so far has been St. Patrick's Day. I think Chicago has an incredible Irish heritage as well.
I think it's the largest in the country.
Yeah.
Next to Boston.
That was really something that I felt was really special. And I was so happy that we as choirmen got to be a part of that. So, if you get a chance to be here for Paddy's Day celebrations, do it.
Well, you'll be here for 4th of July. So you'll have another truly American celebration on that.
Yeah.
Benji, what's your favorite thing? Do you have? I mean, is it tough being here for all these months? And I don't know if your family or anybody's here, but being away from it.
Yeah, it is tough. My family are actually here this week. Luckily, they're visiting, which has been nice. So they saw the show a couple
from England?
Of times.
They're
saw
in
the
from
show
England?
Last night. Yeah, from England. Yeah. So we've been exploring. We went to the zoo, which was like so cool, and we couldn't believe it was free.
You went to Lincoln Park. The other zoo's not.
Yeah.
You went to the free
one. Oh, yeah. Lincoln Park Zoo we went to. Yeah. And we walked around for like 3 hours and there was so much to see. It was honestly like one of the best things that I've done since being here. It's
and
so
I,
cool.
I don't live far from there. And so on New Year's Eve, I go there every New Year's Eve. It's all the lights are there and the whatever. And you get to talk with the gorillas. It's great fun. Paul, what's been your favorite thing?
Well, it's Benji kind of stole my folks are literally have just landed on a plane. I'm literally going to go and meet them when we're finished here. And I was going to take them to the zoo because it's beautiful weather today. I was like, that's
and it's free.
And it's free.
George, your fave.
I think it's got to be the architecture. The buildings are amazing.
Yeah.
We did a river cruise and they sort of like told us about all the buildings. Just amazing. And then also like it's nice living in the hustle and bustle of downtown here, but then going up to work and on a Monday when we have a day off, we've been like to Wrigley Field, Wicker Park, and like go to some of the quiet areas and really like enjoy those. It's nice just have a contrast.
Apparently, RJ's not going with you, but
he is on Monday.
yeah, you're going. Hey, guys, it's been so much fun talking to you. And the truth is, this is what the show is like. It's just fun. Seeing the show, it's like I feel like I know all of you, and thank you for spending time. People can see the Choir of Man at least through July 14th, because I think it's going to get extended. Tickets at choirofmanchicago.com. I hope you love the city while you're here. I hope I get to see you again. We'll go take it to Cubs game or something like that. And thank you for being with me. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you.
I know. RJ's going to the Sox game, but I'm a North Side. You're coming with me to the Cubs. We're going to the Cubs.
Go Cubs.
See y'all, everybody. Break legs.
See you, mate. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Bo.
See you guys.